Welcome to the Grace Point Church Podcast. This is a podcast where you'll hear audio content from Grace Point Church, located at 319 West Georgia Road, Simpsonville, South Carolina. In this episode, Pastor Ben returns to his sermon series, Faith Journey, Encouragement from Joshua. This is part 5. Let's listen in.
Good morning, Grace Point. Good morning. It is so incredibly good to be here again. You know, I say that every week because I mean it every week, because I'm starting to get to the age now where it's just good to be seen anywhere, you know? So amen. So there you go. It's good to be here, but no, beyond that, it's really a genuine statement because I cannot think of anywhere in this world right now, today, that I would rather be than right here with you. God is so gracious, and He's so good that He allows us that joy, and we don't take it for granted. Amen? I want to ask you, if you will, open your Bibles again to the book of Joshua. We're going to continue through our series of learning faith, or the faith journey that we find through the book of Joshua, and we've seen some incredible things so far, and I don't know about you, but it's been a lot of fun for me. So whether you just have to have sat through this and endured it, I'm sorry, but it's been a blessing to me. So all I can say is thank you, Lord. Amen. So faith journey, encouragement from Joshua. What have we seen thus far? Well, I'm glad you asked. And I will let you know in just a moment. First of all, we saw getting there. The whole process of going across the Jordan, having to say goodbye to Moses, and how huge that was in Joshua's life. But he took the step of faith, and he followed the Lord, and he followed his instruction, and he went to claim the land that God had promised. And then they had to overcome obstacles. And you know what? The first obstacle we looked at was coming in and finding this city, and the city that had the incredible walls all around it, and they had to overcome that. But God gave them the way, and they followed His instruction, and God knocked the walls down flat, and they walked into the city, and they claimed the city because God honors His word, and He had made the promise to them. Amen? And so they did that. But then we found out that, wait a minute, just as surely as things were going well, they got a little bit casual, right? Took things for granted, and then we found that there was great failure. And they went up thinking, oh, Jericho, we took care of that. Ai is going to be a cinch. And they went up and they found themselves roundly defeated. But then God said, wait a minute, I know you failed in that regard, but I have not forgotten you. And folks, all I can tell you is that I know of all the times in my life I have repeatedly failed again and again and again. I have never had to look for the Lord because He's always been right there, because He's promised it. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So He's right here. So we just have to turn and look. And so then we found out that God gave them the opportunity, the blessing, because of grace, because of mercy, because of forgiveness. They had the opportunity to begin again. And folks, listen, you need to understand in your life, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the failure, I promise you, when it comes to God, when it comes to faith in Christ, when it comes to being a child of God and being born again, you always, always, always have the opportunity to begin again. Because God says, if you come to me, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, so nothing remains. So listen, this morning you can, before you leave here, you can look toward heaven, look into the throne room of heaven, and by grace and through faith in Christ and in His name, you can cry out to the Father and you can stand before Him forgiven and clothed in His righteousness with no stain whatsoever. Begin again. So this morning we're going to move forward again, and we're going to find something that I believe is encouraging because of some of the subtleties of the message that are found here. And what we're going to look at is Joshua chapter 9, seeing grace in deception. You say, well, those things don't come to go fit together, but all I have, just hold on to the end because the best is at the end. And I pray that you'll wait and see it, not check out before then. So with that said, I don't normally read the whole chapter, but for some reason, God just seems to lay on my heart. We're going to do that this morning. So find Joshua chapter number 9, and we'll begin reading, of course, in verse number 1. As soon as all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the lowland all along the coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and the Termites. No, I just added that one. Anyway, heard of this, they gathered together as one to fight against Joshua and Israel. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they on their part acted with cunning and went and made ready provisions and took worn out sacks for their donkeys and wineskins worn out and torn and mended with worn out patched sandals on their feet and worn out clothes. And all their people, all their provisions were dry and crumbly. And they went to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant country, so now make a covenant with us." But the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you live among us. Then how can we make a covenant with you?" They said to Joshua, "We are your servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are you? And where do you come from?" They said to him, "From a distant country your servants have come because of the name of the Lord your God. For we have heard a report of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country said to us, 'Take provisions in your hand for the journey and go to meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Come now, make a covenant with us. Here is our bread. It was still warm when we took it from our houses as our food for the journey and the day we set to come to you. But now, behold, it is dry and crumbly. These wineskins were new when we filled them, and behold, they have burst. And these garments and sandals of ours were worn out from the very long journey.' So the men took some of their provisions, but did not ask counsel from the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore to them. At the end of 3 days, after they had made a covenant with them, they heard that they were their neighbors, and they lived among them. And the people of Israel set out and reached their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Chephirah, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. But the people of Israel did not attack them because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. Then all the congregation murmured against the leaders. But all the leaders said to all the congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we may not touch them. This we will do to them, let them live, lest wrath be upon us, because of the oath that we swore to them." And the leaders said to them, "Let them live." So they became cutters of wood and drawers of water for all the congregation, just as the leaders had said to them. Joshua summoned them, and he said to them, "Why did you deceive us, saying we are from very far off when you dwell among us? Now therefore you are cursed, and some of you shall never be anything but servants, cutters of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God." They answered Joshua, "Because it was told to your servants for a certainty that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. So we feared greatly for our lives because of you and did this thing. And now behold, we are in your hand. Whatever seems good and right in your sight to do to us, do it." So he did this to them and delivered them out of the hand of the people of Israel, and they did not kill them. But Joshua made them that day cutters of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord to this day in the place that he should choose. Wow. Do you get the story? Do you see the background? Let's kind of look at it a little more in depth. Are you with me? Faith journey, seeing grace in deception. The first thing I want you to notice is the deceitful enemy. Verses 3 through 6 you can look at again. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they on their part acted with cunning and went and made ready provisions and took worn out sacks for their donkeys and wineskins worn out and torn and mended with worn out patched sandals on their feet and worn out clothes, and all their provisions were dry and crumbly. And they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant country, so now make a covenant with us." So here's the backdrop. They heard of what God had done through the people of Israel, and they were afraid of Joshua. And they were afraid. They knew that they could not stand up against Joshua. They could not stand up against the armies of the people of Israel. And so they decided they were going to make a plan, make a ploy, and to act as if they were from a faraway land and say, okay, I'm going to make a covenant with you because we've heard that God said he's going to give you all the inhabitants of this land and all this land. So we're going to hedge our bets and try to fool the people of God. Now think about that from this perspective. Wait. What did we find out? Well, first of all, we see that God had already spoken about this. You need to go back and look and recognize what the Scripture says in Exodus 23, 31, and 32. When God is talking to them about taking the promised land, he said, I will set your border from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines and from the wilderness to the Euphrates. For I will give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them and their God. See, God had already spoken to the issue and said, you are not going to make a covenant within, don't make a covenant with anybody in that land. You have to make sure that you don't do that. Why? Because that will corrupt you and you'll be tempted and drawn into worshiping their gods or doing the things. And we know from the rest of history as we look at the people of Israel, how often did they do that again and again and again. And God said, I'm trying to protect you. Listen to this. Don't make a covenant with anybody in the land. So what happened? Well, they did it anyway. And they did it because they were deceived. Now, how long did it take for them to recognize they'd been deceived? 3 days, right? 3 days. That's all it took for them to realize, wait a minute, these people were not from a faraway land. They tricked us. They fooled us. They were from here that live among us in the land that God had promised. And we have done this thing and we have made a covenant with them against the will of God. So what happened? Well, we see the deceitful enemy. Secondly, we see a disappointing error. So the men took some of their provisions but did not ask counsel from the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore to them. What does this show? A disappointing error. What did they do? Well, I've highlighted what they did. So the men took some of their provisions, but did not ask counsel from the Lord. Notice what they did. Again, just as they had done in Ai the first time, they took it on themselves to know what was best. They decided they would go ahead and do what they felt was right in their own eyes, and they thought they were acting prudently. They thought they were acting wisely. I guarantee you they weren't thinking, well, we're just going to disobey God. No, they never thought about it. They just went on their own counsel and not the counsel of the Lord. How easily do we fall into that same trap? Now, everybody stop and look. This is the time where you go, okay, I need to look at me. How often in your own life do you find yourself in this same position? How often do we fall asleep at the wheel, if you will? How often do we think, oh, God, I've got this. It's all right. You know, this is not a big deal. This is not a big problem. I can handle this one, Lord. Just let me take care of it. And we go about our own way only to find ourselves what? It wasn't nearly as easy as we thought it was, right? And sometimes we can fall into the trap of disobedience and not doing what God had said because they did not seek counsel from the Lord. You know, I'm reminded of a story of, I think it was the great pastor Oswald J. Smith, had a woman come to him one day after a message, and he was talking about God cares for you and God cares about everything in your life. And she came to him and said these words, Pastor, you don't really think God cares about the little things in my life, do you? And he said in the venerable way that only he could, he looked down at her and he said, Madam, do you think there's anything in your life that's big to God? Think about it. Does God care about the little things in your life? Well, let me ask you this. Does God have the hairs on your head numbered? He does. Does he? As a matter of fact, does he know, guys, watch, I'm sorry. Ow. Does he know what 3 hairs I just pulled out? He had them numbered. He knows more than I have that many number of hairs left. He knows which ones these were. You think God cares about what the little things in your life? I guarantee you He does. He cares about how you feel. He cares about those giants that Brittany was talking about. He cares about the roadblocks. He cares about the fears and the sorrows and the pains. And He cares about everything in your life. It is always the right thing to do to seek the counsel of the Lord before you do anything else. That's why when he taught us to pray, the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, He said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day," what? "Our daily bread." Listen, if you haven't heard it lately, I want to remind you again, the success of the Christian life is found in the quiet time with Jesus each and every day. Why? Because you need to know that you are following Him and you're seeking His counsel in all that you do. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. So it was a disappointing error. How easily do we fall into the same trap? Paul reminds us of the cunning of the devil. You see, we cannot take him for granted either. We need to understand that he has a purpose and a plan, and that is to not be all warm and fuzzy to you. The devil doesn't like you. Look what he says. "I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul knew under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that you and I must stand on guard. 1 Peter tells us that the enemy, the devil, like a roaring lion, goes to and fro about the earth seeking whom he may devour. You got to understand, he does not like you. The enemy hates you. And he wants to tear you down. And what he wants you to do to you as a child of God, he knows if you are born again, you are lost to him. But what he wants to do, he wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to rob you of your ability to move forward for the cause of Christ. He wants to destroy and to tear down your witness. He wants to keep you idle and ineffective in the kingdom's work. But I'm here to tell you, you do not have to, because all you have to do is seek the counsel of the Lord, ask forgiveness, go before Him and say, "God, what is it today that you would have me do?" And I promise you He'll give you that. I promise you He'll tell you. I promise you He'll give you instruction. I promise you He'll lead you. And if you don't believe me, I dare you to test it and try it out. He will. Seek His counsel. They made a disappointing error. But was that the end of the story? Everybody go, no. We see the deceitful enemy, disappointing error, and then finally, the definite examples. You say, what in the world are you talking about? The definite examples. Folks, this is the best part. Are you ready? Do you have your forks? Did you keep your fork? Are you ready for the dessert? All right, because here it comes. Are you with me? What do we see in this story? Is it more than just, "Hey, good looking"? What did you do to your face? Rosie. You're still pretty. Do you know that? I'll help you, baby. Oh, it's locked. Go on in. For those of you that don't know, that's my granddaughter. Okay. All right, the definite examples. What do we see? What do we find here? Well, first of all, I want you to see the example of honor. Did that strike you as well as you read that? What did the Gibeonites do? Gibeonites, what did they do? What'd they do? Y'all tell me. They lied. They deceived God's people, right? They pretended to be someone they weren't. They pretended to be from a far off country, and they went to great lengths to prove it to them, right? I mean, they put on the right clothes. They took old moldy bread. All the stuff they did, every old wineskins. I mean, they really went all out. You know, I'm gonna tell on this. This is on video, right? Good, Sheila. That's my mother-in-law. I'm gonna tell on you. It's like when you go somewhere and you've got to bring something, and so you go to the store and you buy the potato salad, and then you put it in your own bowl and take it? I love you, Sheila. But I know one time she did that. I'm not getting any more potato salad. You're right. I'm not getting more hugs either, probably. But what else? Oh, it's like, you know, you go and you're going to go bake something. So what do? You unwrap the package and you put it on a plate and you splash flour on yourself and go out and serve it. I know all the good ones. It's scary, isn't it? We're enough of that, okay? But here's the thing. They deceived the people of God. That's my point. They were cunning, they were deceitful, and they went about it. But notice the example of honor. Folks, I tell you this, it's like, have you ever heard the saying, two wrongs don't make a right? What did Joshua do? I love this. Verse 19, but all the leaders said to all the congregation, we have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we may not touch them. They had made a covenant with them, and they would not break it, even though, from the world standards, it would not be a legitimate covenant because they were deceived into it. But that standard, the world standard, is not God's standard. And they knew they would honor the covenant that they had made in the Lord's name. Folks, I don't even need to tell you. You can just simply think about all the promises that I have made to the Lord, that you have made to the Lord, all the promises that you've made in His name, and you've backed out of those promises. Folks, listen, should we not take our covenant with Him as seriously as God's people did here? Amen? They acted with honor. And folks, listen, I am guilty, like all of us are guilty, of sometimes getting really frustrated with the world. And really getting frustrated with people when people say things about us, right? You Christians are just a bunch of this. Does it make you angry? Yeah, it makes it frustrating. But how are we to respond? I believe because of the covenant that I made with Jesus Christ, I am His and He is mine. He lives in me. He has told me to express His love to the world. I cannot respond in anger. I must do as He said and turn the other cheek. I need to follow His example as He hung on the cross and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Folks, listen. They showed an example of honor. And I believe that example is for you and for me as well today. And then I want you to notice the best part. This is the subtle part. An example of grace. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm glad you asked me. Verse 24 and 25. They answered Joshua, because it was told to your servants for a certainty that the Lord your God had commanded His servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. So we feared greatly for our lives because of you and did this thing. And now behold, we are in your hand. Whatever seems good and right in your sight to do to us, do it. Notice what happened. They were caught. And there they were. They stood before Joshua. If you notice the sequence of things, what happened, Joshua went to the people of Israel and said, we're not going to kill them because we made this covenant. We're not going to do that to them. They grumbled and murmured, we're not going to do it because we've already made this covenant with them. But then after that had been established, Joshua then called the Gibeonites, the leaders, to him and said, I need to know, why did you do this? Why did you do this thing? In other words, why didn't you join with the other kings that are preparing to attack us even now? Why did you do this thing? And here's what they said. For a certainty. Question, what do you see in that? Well, I see something. Do you hear the faith in their statement? What did they say? For a certainty. We know that you're going to take the land. For a certainty, we know that your God will prevail. for a certainty, we know that you do not operate in your own strength and in your own wisdom. We know for a certainty that there is nothing, any attempt that we make to defend ourselves is futile before your God. We know for a certainty that He has already given our land into your hands. So we feared greatly. Folks, listen. I believe they understood about God. And I see a statement of faith in there. You say, well, Pastor, maybe that's like the faith when the Bible tells us that even the demons know and believe and shudder and tremble. I don't believe that's the case here. And as I wrestled with it and I struggled with it in my study, and I was thinking, there's something more here, Lord, and I've never seen it. Please show it to me. There's something more that I've never seen. Please show it to me. And He showed me something that just blew my mind. Are you with me? Notice all the parallels between the Gibeonites and Rahab. You remember Rahab the harlot? One of the heroes of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11. If you go back to Joshua chapter number 2 and you find out that they had sent people across the river before they crossed in the Jordan, they'd sent people over and they sent spies into Jericho, right? And then the leaders in Jericho found out that they heard that there were spies from God's people and they were searching for them, but they went to the house of Rahab the harlot and she hid them on her roof, remember? And then she deceived her leaders in the army and told them, oh, I saw them leave out. And they've gone out that way and told them the direction they were headed. And they all sent out over there. And then she said, listen, I'm telling you, I know that God has given the land to you. So will you remember me? You know the story. And she let them down by a rope out the window because her house was on the wall. And told them not to go. Told them to go to the hill country and wait for 3 days and then go, so they'd be safe. You remember the story? All right. If you don't, go back and read it. Okay. So what happened? Well, look at the parallels. Like the Gibeonites, Rahab was a native of Canaan, Joshua 2:1. Like the Gibeonites, she had confidence God was giving the land to Israel, chapter 2 and verse 9. She said, "I know for a certainty, God's given this city into your hand." I know, because He's God. And then notice, like the Gibeonites, she responded with fear before God and His people. She said, I know you are going to take the city. And I know that we cannot stand against you. So I'm asking you, if I do this thing for you to hide you and protect you, will you remember us? And spare me and my family. Remember? Remember when Jesus hung on the cross? There was one thief that scoffed and cursed and blasphemed. But there's another one who said, shut up. That's my paraphrase. And he said, don't you know who you're talking to? And he turned to Jesus. And despite the life that he had lived, he said, we deserve to be here. He doesn't. And in spite of that life, he looked and said, remember me, Lord, when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus looked at him and said, your faith, right? Today you will be with me in paradise. I've always felt like those cunning, sneaky, dastardly Gibeonites. They tricked God. Oh, yes, they tricked God's people. But I want you to know, God was not fooled. I see in them an incredible picture. Like the Gibeonites, Rahab acted with cunning in order that she and her family might find refuge among the people of Israel. What did she do? She hid the spies on the roof. What did she do? She deceived those that were searching for them. What did she do? She said, okay, now I've done this for you. I'm asking, will you spare me? And how did God feel about that? Well, the answer is clear. When God wrote His Faith Hall of Fame, whose name is at the top of the list? Rahab. The Bible goes on to tell us in chapter 9 that the Gibeonites
after they revealed why they had done what they had done. Joshua had already pronounced the curse on them that they would be the woodcutters and the water carriers and all that stuff. But I want you to understand something. What did they say in that statement when they said, whatever seems right to you to do to us, do it? I believe that they were happy to say, we are now under the authority of your God, and we will live among you in peace, and we'll happily cut wood, carry water, whatever it is, because you have done this for us. Folks, listen. I see in this picture an incredible opportunity for those who feel like they have no hope to come and to say, God in heaven, I don't care how you got here or why you got here. I don't care what you did or your purpose or reason or motivation for being under the teaching of the Word of God. I don't care why you came. All I care is whether or not you hear what God says. And He says to you this day, come to me. It's not about what you do. It's not about what you've done. It's not about what you can or will do. It's about who I am, God says, and who you are. You see, the bottom line is this. Just like Rahab said to the people, remember me. Just as that thief on the cross said, remember me. Just as the Gibeonites said, we're afraid. Please make a covenant with us. In the very same way, all that is needed for you to have the joy of knowing that your life for all eternity is secure in glory is to say, God, I recognize it's not about me, it's about you. The need in me is great. I am helpless and hopeless. All I need to do is say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me. And I believe that he raised him again from the grave. And I believe that if I simply confess that before you and trust and believe, you will come into my life personally and save me. And then you'll work by putting your Holy Spirit inside of me. You'll work all the other stuff out later. I just simply believe. I want to ask you, if you're here this morning and you've never done that, will you do it today? Will you give your heart and life to Christ? Will you just simply say, I understand, Lord. I need a relationship with you. Please forgive me. I receive you. Thank you. And watch what God does.
You have been listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. To find out more information about Grace Point Church, go to our website at www.gracepointsc.org. You can also connect with us on social media through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. To listen to more sermons by Pastor Ben Hill, you can subscribe to this podcast, go to the media page on our website, or you can watch our service live on our Facebook page. Thank you for listening.